taking vacations actually increases your productivity at work. Hey, I used to think that vacations were getting in the way of me being my most productive self. And if every time I took one, I felt kind of guilty that I was even on it because I had so much stuff to do. And I knew when I came back, there'd be a million emails and I had to catch back up. Just kind of like this vacation is kind of getting in the way of me being my best self. Totally have changed my script on it. But look, 55% of Americans don't use all their vacation days every year because we all think the exact same way. This episode is going to flip your whole idea around about vacations because the more you vacation, the happier you are and the more rested you are and the more productive you actually are. Vacations are the key to you being your best self. We're going to learn more coming up next. The revolution is here. I'm talking about a good mood revolution. The Good Mood Show is officially evolving and rebranding to the Good Mood Revolution. There's a lot of reasons because of this, but the biggest one is that you can't just put on a fake happy smile and feel good. We know that choosing good moods means also facing our bad moods, of facing our darkness within, and learning how to overcome it. Because happiness is a choice. It's a choice of our perspective. So the Good Mood Show you love is going to continue on under the new name, The Good Mood Revolution. Get ready for the journey. So last year, I had a big vacation coming up with my family. And I remember getting on a call with my coach and I was like, man, I don't have time for this vacation. And his name's Steve. And Steve was like, Matt, every time you've got a big vacation coming up, you tell me you don't have time to go on this vacation. And he's like, I'm going to call BS right now. Here's the thing. Like, you're trying to prioritize being so productive and getting so much work done. But what if vacations are actually the key to you getting your work done? And he said, I'm here to tell you that as you schedule vacations and pour into rejuvenating yourself, you become a better, more productive person in your work life too. You know, I let that sink in and I'm so glad that he gave me that advice because I didn't go on my vacation feeling guilty that I wasn't working. I went on the vacation feeling like this is exactly what I need so that I can become the best version of myself. I need to unplug and unwind and relax and actually be with my family and be present. And since that moment, and this was last year, we've scheduled more vacations than we ever have. And today, I'm so excited because we've got vacation expert and author of this soon to be published book, You Need a Better Vacation, Jenica Day. Jenica, welcome to the Good Mood Show.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So you like saw a need in the market, in the world, for people to talk about why we need vacations. And, one statistic I saw on your Instagram said that 55% of Americans don't use all their vacation days. What's up with that?
Yeah. It's shocking when you see an actual number where like over more than half of people aren't using all their vacation days. You're like, this doesn't make any sense, right? So I think it's things like that that just had me kind of go into a deep dive and a little rabbit hole of like figuring out vacations from an analytical perspective, because it's shocking. It's shocking that people aren't using them. And it's common, I think, in your intro, how you mentioned that people are foregoing vacations because they feel like they're too busy or they're going to miss out or they're going to get too many emails are going to pile up. And I think everyone can relate to that. And it's kind of a non-vacation pandemic that we're experiencing here.
You call it vacay phobia. Yeah. And I loved that term. And one of the reasons you said people don't want to take a vacation is because they think they're going to look bad to their boss or their coworkers. You know, talk with me about that. Why do we have this fear that our bosses or coworkers are going to look down on us for taking a break?
Well, I think the main thing is, and there's research that supports this, is that managers and CEOs and people higher up kind of in the ladder of the job pool, when they don't take vacations and when they work 80 hours a week, everyone underneath them feels the need to also work 80 hours a week and not take vacations. So it's when managers take vacations and they're taking care of their mental health and they're taking these breaks, people below them will feel like it's okay for me to take breaks and my manager is going to approve of it. But what happens is we see people up above us working a lot of hours and not taking vacations. And then everyone underneath them feels like, well, if I take a vacation, people are going to think I'm slacking. So it's that corporate culture that we have. And it's not every single corporate culture, but a lot of corporate cultures, the culture says, you know, work more hours, don't take vacation. And so I think there's a fear that's embedded in that.
Yeah. You know, and some of the other things you had mentioned about why we're not using all our vacation days. And even me, I was taking good vacations, but I was just feeling guilty about it. Is we know when we come back, we're going to have so many emails. And it's like that week back, there's almost anxiety when you're about to get back into the real world, trying to start spinning all the plates that you used to spin and keep them all going again. And it's like, if we just didn't leave, we could have just kept it all going and not have to restart. You know, how do you suggest that we not feel so overwhelmed coming back from a week off?
Yeah. So people feel that not only coming back from vacation, but people feel the stress leading up to vacation too. And I like to refer to this as the overtime vacation, because usually the couple weeks before we go on vacation, we're trying to get everything ready for when we go. So it's a little bit more stressful before we go. You know, hey, can you cover for me? Hey, I got to finish these reports before I leave. So there's extra work that you do before you go. And then, like you said, when you come back, you're inundated with emails. People are trying to touch base with you. You missed this, you missed that. You're trying to catch up. So there's stress before and after. And it kind of feels like there's just a bunch of overtime work to do before you leave and after you leave for a vacation. So just knowing that, people think, is it worth it for me to go on vacation? And my answer to that is yes, but we just need to do them better, right? Yeah. So one thing that I recommend for, you asked for kind of a recommendation for that, is take shorter vacations. So instead of going for 10 days or 3 weeks, you know, we all love a 3-week European vacation. It sounds great. But really what research shows is that the more frequently we take vacations, the better our mental health and the happier we are. And it really doesn't matter how many days of vacation we take. It's just that we need these little breaks to keep us going. So instead of taking even 7 days, consider taking a 3 or 4 day vacation. And then there's not as much prep before and there's not as much prep after, or not as much, you know, and not as many emails when you come back from vacation. Shorter vacations can really, really help people who feel that.
Yeah. I know the first thing you said is, is vacationing even worth it? And you said, my answer is yes. Well, this is the Good Mood Show. And the reason I wanted to have you on the show is that all the research you found points to taking breaks and rejuvenating and having vacations leads to happier lives. You know, why are we happier when we actually take the time for these vacations?
So there's a lot of different information on why vacations are beneficial, but for one thing, they improve creativity. So there's a lot of research that's been done that shows that when we step back from the work we're doing, our brains can actually think in different ways. We activate this default mode network that's in our brain that is kind of the center for when we do nothing. And when we do nothing, our brain has different insights that it can see. So you can think about a problem from a different angle when you step back from it. I'm sure you're familiar, like lots of people can relate to, you know, I was in the shower and I thought about this like really interesting idea, or like I was listening to music or going for a walk and I solved that problem that I was trying to solve before. So our brain can think differently and we can be a little bit more creative when we take these breaks. And then health and wellness is boosted when we're taking breaks. And that's because when we're working, we experience stress. Doesn't really matter what you do, but if your brain is working, if you're thinking, collaborating, talking, problem solving, all those things that we do when we're working, your brain's experiencing stress. And when we get rid of all those things, when we're taking a break from work, our stress decreases. So we get this break from the stress response, and then we can, you know, go back to kind of a baseline health and wellness before we go back into the stress response. So those are a couple different ways.
How are we going to find the money? I have a lot of, you know, people I've spoken with that say, I haven't taken a vacation in years. So vacations are expensive. I mean, this is kind of like a luxury, right? How do we find the funds to live this kind of luxurious lifestyle?
So I love when people ask me this question. And that's the first question that I always get asked when I describe the vacation hero method. So I have four vacation myths that I always get asked about. And the first one is, how am I going to afford these vacations? So my answer to that is, vacations don't have to cost money. So when we look at vacations from an occupational recovery perspective, meaning that we really want just time away from work to recover and to not be burned out or to not be chronically stressed. So a vacation doesn't have to be a beach vacation in Cancun where you spend $5,000. A vacation can just be on a park bench reading a book right next to where you live. So you don't have to spend any money to get the benefits of a vacation, as long as you're taking time away from work and not feeling stressed. So we have to change the way that we think about vacations from, you know, a luxurious beach vacation, which it can be. You can definitely spend money if you want to. But what we really need is just breaks from work. And it doesn't have to be on a beach in Mexico. It could just be in your hometown.
There was one study that you had cited that had asked participants to look at the upcoming weekend as a vacation. Can you talk about the findings in that study?
Yeah, I love that study. So they had people come into the lab and they said, okay, you have a weekend coming up. The first group, they said, treat this weekend like a vacation. So do what you would do if you were on vacation, you know, and they were in their hometown. They didn't have anything planned, but treat it like a vacation. The other group of participants, they said, you have an upcoming weekend, do your regular weekend, come back to the lab next week, let's talk. So both groups came back and they found that the group who had treated their weekend like a vacation had increased health and wellness, and they had increased their productivity when they went back to work. And it was just that, like, that tiny, tiny change, like that tiny little psychological shift that they had where they thought, oh, I'm on vacation. Like, this is, you know, this is a break from work, and I'm going to, you know, maybe I'll go out to a different restaurant or like go for a longer walk than I would normally do and not do, you know, not go to Home Depot and try and renovate my house this weekend. So it's just interesting how you can shift your mindset, and that will affect your vacation experience.
Yeah, I love what you said on that post you made. You said vacationing is not a destination. It's a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're talking about with the first myth of vacations, which is, I don't have the money. I do love to go to the woods. I own a tent. It costs $35 to rent a tent site. And now I can be away from my home and I can be experiencing nature, and we're going on hikes, and really, you know, I'm cooking the same food I would cook at my house over campfire instead of the refrigerator. It's not costing me any more to be on this camping adventure. Now, some people don't like to camp. I get that. But I also live in Charleston, South Carolina, and the beach is 5 minutes from my house. So anyone in my town, or anyone really who lives in the state of South Carolina, within a couple hours can be at the beach. So on any weekend day, we can spend the whole day at the beach. And that is certainly a vacation, and it costs nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So what's myth number two?
So this kind of is part of that not costing so much money, but we don't have to travel to vacation. And we both just touched on this, right? You don't have to physically move from one place to the other to call what you're doing with your time off a vacation. And yes, vacations where you spend time at home might not be as exciting, but what I suggest for that is plan something exciting. So if you're doing a staycation, you're staying at home during your vacation, plan something so that you have something to look forward to. Because what a distant location does for us is it gives us something to look forward to. And I think the downfall of a lot of people when they plan home vacations is that they don't plan anything. They're just like, oh, I'm just staying home for my vacation and that's that. But if you plan like, okay, let's go to a new restaurant. Let's go for a hike in the woods. Let's do this. If you have some plans that you're really excited about, it's going to be just as beneficial for you.
Yeah. Last summer we were having some financial troubles in our company and I still wanted a vacation. And we reached out to a friend who lives in Washington, D.C. that I hadn't visited in years. And we went up to Washington, D.C. and stayed with him. And he took us to the free museums and they were awesome. So that was gas to get to Washington, checking out all the monuments for free, looking at all of the museums for free and staying with our buddy for free. Like it really cost us nothing. And another one of my good friends lives in Virginia. And so we went up and stayed at his house in Virginia and hiked and swam in the creek and, you know, cooked barbecue and put the slip and slide out for the kids. And it was incredible, like such a great time. And these were vacations because we didn't have a big budget because we were having some financial issues, but they were amazing. And they may have even been more amazing because I reconnected with old friends and had like, and grew those bonds deeper. You know, these were relationships that matter to me that I hadn't been in touch with in a while. You know, what are your thoughts about vacationing with other people to their home, right? Like, so now I'm going to not do a staycation at my house, but going to someone else's house.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's amazing. And maybe if you could also ask your friends, when are you guys going on vacation? And then you could just have their house. I mean, it sounds like you wanted to connect with your friends, but you know, you could say, when are you going on vacation? Maybe I can house it for you while you're gone, you know?
That's a great idea, right? But both of these friends, I'm now saying come to Charleston, right? And how cool for them that we've got a guest bedroom. They can come and stay for free. And we'll go to the beach. But it's cool when I have friends come and stay in Charleston. Now it's not as much of a staycation because I'm actually on vacation with them. You know, it's like we're not doing our normal routine things. I want them to have a good time. So I'm doing the touristy things, going to the restaurants, taking the tours, checking out things. So it makes the staycation even more fun when I have somebody coming in and enjoying it. Let's talk about these last two myths. So you have to travel. We busted that myth. You need a bunch of money. We busted that myth. What are the last two myths?
So one we also kind of touched on, and it's that you must sacrifice vacations to be successful. So you don't have to, right? We know that vacations can be really beneficial in terms of increased productivity at work, increased creativity, better health and wellness, all these things. So that is going to propel you forward in your career. If you feel like you're too busy to take a vacation, a lot of the benefits that you get from vacation are going to help you in your career, not hinder you. And then we also know from some research that people who work a lot, people who work a lot are actually less likely to get promoted than people who work more. Sorry, than people who work less. So people who are in the office and they're working like crazy are actually less likely to get promoted than people who work less than them. So there's not any research that shows if you work an 80-hour week, you're going to get promoted over somebody who works a 60-hour week. That's just not how it actually works. In fact, if you're working 80 hours a week, you might not be working as intensely as somebody who's working 60 hours a week. So maybe you're not being as productive in those 80 hours as somebody who's working 60 hours a week.
Yeah, there was a famous study, and it was when we were building the railroads across America, and they needed to build the railroads faster because we needed to have this railroad system in place for, I don't remember, but you know, I just remember that they were like, we need to do this better. And it's just not coming along fast enough. And they brought in a scientist to help them get more productivity out of the railroad workers. And his group ended up being twice as productive every day as the other groups. And they came in and they said, what are you doing? Like, how are you getting these guys to build twice as much railroad in the same day as everyone else is? And he said, I have them work half as much. And what he did was everyone else was working 8 hours straight, you know, picking up heavy railroad ties and using these big hammers. And they were so exhausted the whole time that their work production just slowed to a crawl. And the other ones were instructed that every 20 minutes, they had to take 20 minutes off and sit down and rest in the shade. And then during the 20 minutes that they were working, they were so rested that they were getting twice as much done in half the time. And I think about that a lot. You know, the other thing, you know, you hear the other one, which is if I have 4 hours to chop down a tree, I'm going to spend three of it sharpening my saw. Mm-hmm. And it's the same kind of idea that just because we're grinding and we're like, we think we're being so productive. A lot of times when we're grinding, we're not that productive at all. And I do think that there's a way to work smarter and not harder. And that comes from having inspiration. And we need space. You know, we need space in our day. We need space in our lives to create big things. And that comes from innovation and creativity that usually kind of changes the game for everything.
I love that. And I love you talking about that railroad example, because that's exactly what I was trying to illustrate. I stumbled over my words a little bit, but that's exactly it. And I agree with you. We need to work smarter, not harder. And I think where we're going, where we're heading, and what's really important now is compartmentalizing and working with intensity, not a bunch of hours, right? It's compartmentalizing. So if you have 4 hours, when you're working for those 4 hours, your phone's away, you're in the zone, you know, you're working very intensely on whatever you're working on. And then you take a break for half an hour and you're fully into your break. You're not on your phone, you know, you're not necessarily like problem solving or talking with other people. You're work hard, break hard. And I think that's where we're going to get the most productivity. It's not this in between. We're always in the in between right now, right? Like, you're at work, you're kind of on your phone, you might work 5 minutes and then, oh, you need a coffee break and you do this and this. And then you go home from work and then you kind of have your phone on, you might have the TV on.
We're still on the, still on our email at home. It's like we never, ever, ever, ever get a break anymore. The smartphone was supposed to be this amazing thing where we could access our email everywhere. Like, how great. No, how terrible. Like, now I have to answer my emails from my clients on a Saturday and a Sunday. Ah.
Yeah.
Like, when are we supposed to like rest and recharge? Yeah. You know, even the Bible said that God rested on Sunday, but not us. Yeah. We got to check our email on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that it's really ruining productivity. We're not time boxing our time anymore. It's not work now and then rest and then work or be with your kids. And then it's all muffled together now, and we're not doing anything well. We're doing everything at 50%.
Yes. So a few years ago, I had a buddy that I met at a conference, and you know, I go to this annual men's conference called GoBundance, and every year we ski, but we also like learn from each other. So it's kind of a vacation, but it's also kind of self-improvement. And I love to ski, so it's a win-win for me. Well, my buddy was like, man, what has changed my life are one-on-one trips with my kids. And we took our kids to Disney, and it wasn't super fun. At the time we had three of them. And there was always one crying and melting down about something. Like, two of them wanted to do this ride and one of them didn't, you know? And then one of them needed a nap and the other ones didn't want to go. And it was like, it was so stressful that it's the happiest place on earth. And our kids were not happy. I actually felt like they were less happy at Disney than when we were at home. And so after he told me this idea of this one-on-one trip, I took my then 5-year-old Cameron to Disney, just her and I. And we had the best time ever because it was just her. And I'm like, Cam, what do you want to do? And she's like, I want to eat ice cream. I'm like, let's eat some ice cream. And then I'm like, what do you want to do? And she said, I kind of feel like going back to the pool. And I'm like, let's go back to the pool. And so there was no other siblings to tell us that they weren't into that plan. It was just all about her. And it was so fun. So I've since adopted this, and every year I take one child on a one-on-one trip, and it rotates. So each year they, you know, I've got four kids, so every 4 years they get their trip. This year it's my daughter Harper. She's our 10-year-old, our oldest, and she had put on a dream board she wanted to go to Paris. And so I was like, all right, hey, we're going to go to Paris, you and me. And as we started to look into it, I'm like, yeah, we're going to see the catacombs where all the skulls are. And we're going to see the Eiffel Tower. We're going to eat baguettes. We're going to go to these museums. And I could tell she wasn't really into it. And I'm like, hey, is this really where you want to go? And she's like, Dad, I only get one vacation with you every 4 years. That sounds a little boring. And I'm like, hey, this is your trip. I said, what do you want to do? And she said, I want to go somewhere tropical. And we shifted gears and we're going to Mexico now August. We're going at the start of August. And I booked it. So once she said she wanted to do it, I said, all right, what do we want to do? She said, I want to surf and I want to ride four-wheelers through the jungle. And I'm like, done. So we're going to Punta Mita. And there's small intermediate waves, and we got, you know, we're on the water, and ended up finding this place that has zip lines, and also you can rappel down a waterfall. And as soon as she saw it, she like started losing her mind. She's like, this is unbelievable. I can't wait. And so that's a bucket list for me. Now it's kind of like giving my kids the freedom this once a year to say, what would you do if you could do anything? And then just helping light them up, because I have a lot of fun when they're having a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's so valuable. One-on-one time it's so important for when you have more than one child, I think. And to do vacations like that, that's amazing. That sounds so great. It sounds like a great vacation for you and for her. Which is something I recommend, is if you vacation with people, you need to make sure you're both happy with what you're doing.
Yeah, because I love to surf, right?
Yeah.
And come on, I want to rappel down a waterfall. Like, yeah. It sounds so cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then I didn't want my wife to be left out, right? You know, that I'm doing these like really incredible things. And so I just encouraged her. I'm like, why don't you take one of our children on a one-on-one trip every year too? And she's like, okay, all right, I'll do it. But she's like, are you sure you can manage the other three all by yourself for 3 or 4 days? And she had to ask me 4 times because she wants to make sure the house isn't going to be burned down when she gets back. And I'm like, no, I got you. Because I just really, you know, I want her to have these amazing experiences. Once I noticed how my relationship with my children changed, having this one-on-one time, I wanted her to have that same kind of transformation, because you get super, super close with one of your kids when you're all just them the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. And I haven't done the vacations with my kids because my kids are a little bit younger. I have a 4, 3, and a 5-month-old. So they're a bit younger. So, but that sounds like an amazing thing to do. And what we do now is we will do like mommy and like child time, but it will be like a 4-hour stint in the day, you know, like on a weekend, we'll do like the morning time with one kid. And then next weekend it's the morning time with another kid. And then the baby's always around, but right now, time.
You're in like my favorite time ever. Just that they're all so snuggly and they just want mommy and daddy. Like it's such a great time and a really difficult time to vacation because, so our big trip this year is the trip to Ireland. And I'm from, my grandfather came over on the boat from Ireland. I'm really excited to see our heritage, but we are leaving our 2.5-year-old with grandma. And it's just going to be I've got a 10, an 8, and a 6-year-old daughter. So we wanted them to have this incredible experience and not have to wait for nap time. And so we're really excited about not taking our 2.5-year-old on this trip. But, you know, that's asking a lot too. another time when we had to leave one of the youngest one home, we asked both sets of grandparents if they would split the week because we didn't want to put the whole burden on just one grandparent to do the whole week. But in this case, my mom said, no, I would love to take Brady for the whole week. And so, you know, that was number one on my bucket list was to go to Ireland. And we're doing it this year. You know, one of the things I found interesting, I've always come back on vacation on a Friday, Saturday, or a Sunday. But I saw that you don't recommend that.
Yeah. So what we know from some studies that we've seen is that when you come back midweek, people are actually happier. And that's because when you come back midweek, you only have a couple days until your next break from work, which for most people is the weekend, right? So if you come home on a Sunday, you fly in, say your vacation's a distant vacation, you fly in at like 8 p.m. at night, you get home, the next day you have to be up and working at 9 a.m., people don't feel very good about that. If you come home on a Wednesday and say you still might get in at 8 p.m. and you have to be up at 9 a.m. the next day, but you have like a little bit of extra happiness with you that next day because you're like, it's Thursday, I only have Friday, and then it's Saturday and it's the weekend again. So if you come home and you start your week on a Monday, people are less happy than if they start midweek or closer to the end of the week where they have the weekend coming up.
Yeah, I'm going to start doing this. And I've never done it that way. I've always come back on the weekend and I'm like, oh, we'll at least come back on Saturday. So we have one day to kind of reacclimate before we got to get back into it. But I like this idea of coming back on a Wednesday because, yeah, I just had to tough out Thursday and Friday and then I'm back to vacation again. Like, how cool. I thought that was a really great tip.
Yeah. And if you, every time you vacation, like say you vacation 5 times a year and you have a short work week before and after your vacation, you have 10 extra short work weeks throughout the year. And the short work week is great because you're like, it's a short work week. I'm happier. It's just nicer to have a short work week. So,
yeah. Yeah. So if we went from like on a Thursday and came back on a Tuesday, in that case, we would only have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday the first week, and we'd only have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday the next week. And we just gave ourselves two kind of easier weeks, and that can increase our happiness too. I love this whole conversation. What is there any other advice we need our community to know about how to make their life happier by having better vacations?
So my biggest takeaway is that vacation hero method. So what it boils down to is try to vacation every 10 weeks. And so that you're always, you can anticipate your vacation and you reflect after it. And you're so in that cycle of 8 weeks before a vacation and 2 weeks after, you're vacationing every 10 weeks. And that's a good way to, you know, always bring your stress back down to baseline. And that's a good way to avoid chronic stress. But the number one tip I would give people is always have your next vacation planned. And that's because people who have their vacations planned ahead of time and have a vacation on the calendar are happier than people who don't. So this is like the easiest thing. If you're looking to boost your mood and boost your happiness, the easiest thing that you can do, and you can do it right now, is pencil in a vacation. And just knowing that you have that break ahead of you will make you happier. It's like, it's the easiest happiness hack, I really think.
I totally agree with you. And I now no longer think that I'm going to lose productivity. I see these breaks as increasing my productivity. So excited for your upcoming book. If the people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to get in touch?
Social media. So I'm on Instagram and TikTok at The Vacation Nerd, Vacation Nerd. And then you can go to my website, thevacationnerd.com.
Awesome. Jenica, thank you for being here. And I'm excited for your upcoming trip to Mexico.
Thanks. I'm excited to go as well. And I'm excited for your Ireland trip. That sounds amazing.
Awesome. Y'all, plan some vacations. We'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to today's episode of The Good Mood Show. Here's the summaries that I have from our conversation with Jenica Day. First is we have to prioritize vacations. This helps our productivity and our rejuvenation. The next thing is we need to utilize all our vacation days for better mental health. as Jenica highlights, statistics are 55% of Americans don't use all their vacation days. And this kind of creates this thought that we have to work all the time and never get a break. Number three, adopt the vacation hero method, and this will increase your happiness. Vacation hero method, as she explains, is having a continuous cycle of anticipating, participating in, and reflecting on vacations throughout the year. She specifically recommends 5 vacations a year, and this method leads to an 11% increase in happiness. Number four, vacations don't have to be expensive. You know, you can find vacations that are going to the park or reading books, going out to new restaurants. You don't always have to take luxurious trips. Number five, mindset over destination. It is not just about going somewhere. It is about having a mindset of being on vacation. Number six, busting the myths of vacations. There are several myths about needing it to be too costly or needing to travel or believing that we have to sacrifice our career success for vacations. And that's just not true. And finally, the last point, number seven, is productivity through rest. As you rest, you become more effective in your work, not less effective. Really enjoyed this conversation. I hope you did too.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Good Mood Show with Matt O'Neill. For free resources, videos, and materials about getting into your best moods, head over to thegoodmoodshow.com. See you next week, same time, same place.